Welcome to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look, where you, the investor, get to listen as Chris Perry grills the best and the brightest in the corporate sector to help you find out who's the wheat and who's the chaff. Listen in.
The opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily shared by people who are wrong.
Howdy. Welcome to the Equity Guru podcast. My name is Chris Perry. I am the publisher of Equity.Guru, the website that is devoted to sharing information on financial opportunities to millennials and madmen. One of the things that we've been yakking about for the last couple of months, nay years, at investor conferences all over the place is the need for the mining and resource sectors to start speaking to a younger investor crowd rather than going after the guys with the Zimmer frames and the oxygen tanks. They need to actually start talking to millennials. And the general consensus has been millennials aren't interested in mining. It's all about raping the environment. They're knocked down. But everything that millennials do requires mining to actually make it go. And one of the points that we've been sort of noting very recently is how the second most popular video game of all time that has raised billions of dollars is Minecraft. That every young investor today, every teenager today, who has electricity has played this game and mined for hours and hours and hours. In fact, my 10-year-old daughter is doing it right now as we speak. So why we like Baryon is that they've decided to go out there and be the mining company for millennials. They're looking to show themselves in a different way, to bring in a different audience, and to start speaking a language that no one else in the resource industry has started speaking yet. And that is straight talk for people who just want to know what the hell you do and how you do it. So this podcast is a conversation we had with Max where he lays out his plan.
We built a company from an idea to going public in pretty much a year exactly. And within a month of being public, we're going to have drills in the ground at our flagship asset, Bolo.
Now, one of the things I think that keeps the younger investors away from mining is the idea that from the moment you set out to create an explorer to the time when you've got drills in the ground, there might be a few years there. You put the drills down, there might be 6 months before you get any results. You might take another couple of years before you move it up to the next level, which, you know, for investors that are used to the immediacy of and perhaps overhype of cannabis, that's a bit of a struggle. So cranking the drills straight into the ground, is that a notion to let's change things up a little bit? Let's make things a little bit quicker, a little bit more mobile?
Yeah, you know what? I like getting things done fast, and I hate waiting,
yep.
as everyone does. And, you know, this has been since the day we incorporated Baryon, I couldn't wait to get drills in the ground. So it's been a year of me every day saying, I can't wait to get started. And here we are. We're very, very close. The asset is fully permitted for drilling, so we're not going to have to apply for anything. We have the permit. We have a drill rig ready. We have the water rights. We have the team. I've been planning every little step for months, so we are ready to go. We'll have the drill program done in probably a couple of weeks. Drill results will go to the lab, and we'll get those back in probably 2 months from that. And during those 2 months, we're going to just have a bunch of other news flow and just keep things going. You know, I think the whole idea is build a company. And when I created this company, I thought it as a big company, not as a junior. So, you know, I have a timeline set out of things I want to accomplish, and we're going to get those started immediately.
So for someone who's never looked at drill results before and would have no idea what was good and what wasn't, in a perfect world, if everything goes your way, like what sort of thing are you looking at when the drills come out of the ground?
The nice thing about Nevada is it's substantially cheaper to work in Nevada. Everything's accessible by vehicle, but your costs are generally lower. So in a state like Nevada, anything over a gram on average is very good. And anything over a gram from surface is very good. So we've had some previous results at Bolo, 133 meters of 1.3 grams from surface. Within that hole is 30.5 meters of 3.5 grams per ton. And there's a number of other holes that have 90 meters of 1 gram and 41 meters of 2 grams. So those are very good grades for Nevada. They get us really excited. And what we're going to go do is some modern geophysics, which are being done right now on the property. We'll have those results back in a few weeks. And from those results, we will then base our drill program around it and get right to work. So for us, having those kind of grades is phenomenal. And the previous drill program was very successful in doing so.
So how do you bring someone in who's never really looked at resources before, who might be interested in diversifying from cannabis, but, you know, is a bit of a newbie to the mining space? Like, is there an element of your company's outlook that that sort of helps people through that process?
You know, I think something like coming from the cannabis space has had such a great, terrific run. A lot of young guys my age have probably done phenomenal. But, you know, the market, things like that don't keep going, as we've seen every cycle. You know, are things going to double or triple again from here? I don't know. Have they come up a long way from the start? Yes. I personally never invested in cannabis. I obviously missed out on probably a lot of money. But while I was, you know, watching those things go up, I spent my time building out some real assets. And, you know, something like this, this asset that we have, it is a real asset. You know, a lot of these valuations on pot stock are ridiculous, and they're trading at, you know, tech company earnings, and it's really, you know, to me it feels like in this cycle of the market, how everything's going, that, you know, over the next little bit of time, people should be buying assets that are physical, you know, buying companies that have good cash in the bank, don't have big burn rates, good teams, because when the market does turn, you're going to be jumping into gold stocks when that thing starts running. And, you know, I think people need to understand that, you know, the flavor of the week seems to be coming to an end for some of these things. But every time there's a downturn in the market, gold is the flavor, and it's done tremendously well. And that's, you know, I can't predict when it's going to happen, but I think a lot of the millennials are kind of starting to feel the same way as me.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you're probably right there, that I've certainly been sitting on a lot of cash that I've pulled out of the market in the last 3 to 6 months. And I'm constantly sort of looking over my shoulder at what's happening down south in the US. You know, if Trump gets a little bit crazy, I feel like there's going to be a move towards gold for safety, as always seems to happen when there's problems in the world. So it's almost like gold is the anti-Trump vote when it comes to the markets.
I feel the same way. You know, it's something that I've been, you know, when I got in the market 10, 11 years ago, gold was the sexiest thing out there. And I think people forget, you know, how the markets were 10 years ago for this space. And it kind of blew every pot and blockchain stock out of the water, but these are real assets.
Right.
And, you know, companies have been chugging along for 10 years now and, you know, keep having to dilute their shares. And now you got these gold companies that are trading with 300-400 million shares out, that they've been beat up, they've been bruised. People want something new, something fresh. They want a new, young management team. And I think that's kind of what we bring to the table. You know, I think I find mining to be a tremendous thing. And I think that people, as long as they understand kind of the space and the value behind the companies, right? It's not just like, you know, I've never held a Bitcoin because you can't actually hold it.
Right.
I've held a gold bar before. And those things are heavy and they're very shiny. And to me, that's a lot cooler than any Bitcoin.
Sure. I mean, look, when it comes to bringing people into a new investment sector, you know, it's difficult for them to visualize what they're getting into when it comes to resources, because, I mean, realistically, a lot of what's out there is, you know, if you took a camera and you dropped it at the site, there'd be nothing there but a clearing of trees, maybe a trench, a couple of holes poked in the ground. So how does somebody who's never really invested in resources before, like, what should they look for in terms of feeling like they're putting their money in a place that's relatively safe?
Well, I think, you know, for if I was a millennial looking at investing right now, you know, one, I want to see what I'm investing in. I want video content. I want to be able to, you know, follow what's happening and be able to, for me, I'm like a visual person. You show me what I'm investing in, and it's a lot cooler than, you know, a lot of these mining companies, you're looking at projects, but there's, you know, where are they? What are they doing? And I think the one number one reason that how we can get kids into these stocks, essentially, is show them what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, film the drill rig on there. We're going to do a couple of site visits and get people like yourself down so people can see what we're doing. And honestly, being on top of this mountain here at Bolo is one of the coolest feelings ever. And it's something that I think, you know, a lot of millennials would be like, wow, this is a really cool thing you're doing. And like you mentioned in your previous thing about the Minecraft, you know, one of the most popular video games or computer games in the world, and we're doing that in real life.
So that was one of the things I was going to ask you about is I think there's a perception that the younger crowd, they're too environmentally conscious to be involved in mining. You know, it's something that makes them feel skeezy. But having talked to, my God, I can't even tell you how many hundreds of mining CEOs over the last 5 years, the need to leave the ground better than you found it is pretty strong in the modern mining company. And I'm imagining that specifically with you as well.
Yeah, you know what? The nice thing about Nevada is you know, there's been methods that have been proven and tested. I honestly can't think of a big issue that's happened in Nevada recently. You know, we're, if you go down the site, you're in the middle of nowhere. We're pretty much moving mountains. And a lot of the you know, previous historical mine sites that I've driven by have had no issues. You know, I mean, obviously, any type of mining or oil production isn't maybe the world's most friendly thing, but you need it.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, if no one wanted it, then we wouldn't do it. But, you know, you can sit in the bush and eat vegetables all you want. It's not going to change what's happening in the world. And, you know, we want to be environmentally conscious. Obviously, there's a permitting plan in place, and no one could just go and start mining something using an unsafe method. And, you know, I think Nevada is probably one of the places in the world that has it down to a science. And we're not the first people to do it. We're not going to be the last. We definitely think about what the environment is going to be like. You know, we're all living in that age now where, you know, you're putting carbon taxes in Canada and all these things. Everyone's driving a Tesla. You never know. Maybe in a couple of years, the drill rigs will be electric. You know, things are moving to a change. But the nice thing is, you know, we're not by any lakes. We're not by any rivers. We're not disturbing any natural wildlife in the area.
You're not moving any First Nations people. You're not having
We're not moving any trees or First Nations people.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Equity.Guru podcast with your host, Chris Perry.
Just a quick note to tell you, sorry to interrupt your interview, but if you want more of these, you need to go to your podcast player, whatever that podcast player is, and go and subscribe to the Equity Guru podcast. You can do that through iTunes, you can do it through Google Play, you can do it through all the places. Equity Guru podcast. Do it now.
Welcome back.
I always took the feeling that, you know, if there was an industry that you didn't like what it was doing as in a general sense, that standing outside it and waving a sign doesn't really change much, but actually taking a piece and being at the table when the votes are tallied as to how a company's going to move forward, that's a much different situation. So I think that, you know, a company that comes out of the gate and says, look, we've got this in mind, and we're going to try and be responsible as we go, because we're appealing to a younger crowd. You know, that's where you want to be.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, in terms of my vision for Barrion is I got a lot done in a year. We've built a phenomenal company with myself and the board. And, you know, I think if people can give me 18 months, 2 years, that I can create some phenomenal value for them. And, you know, when we talk again in 2 years' time, we'll see what I've done. But, you know, I think we got a pretty good plan going forward. We got a good group of people, and I'm excited to bring shareholders value.
So one of the criticisms of the mining exploration business is the old adage that you don't want to ruin a good story by sticking a drill hole in it. I like the fact that you guys are sticking drill holes in this thing from the outset. That puts you in a different category to a lot.
You know, I heard years ago the best way to ruin a good promotion is to drill a hole.
Right.
But the nice thing about Bolo is it had a lot of significant intercepts from surface. It is a phenomenal asset. We're not going into a grassroots asset that's never had any work done on it. You know, we're excited to get these geophysics done and announced to the market. And hopefully, you know, the end goal is to have something phenomenal, right? But that's why we're in it. I mean, we're all taking a risk, but this asset has had a lot of work done in the past. $3.3 million has been spent on two drill programs and some other work on this property. We know there's gold there. It's just how much, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're going to do. You know, the first thing I want to do is put a drill rig in the ground, because, you know, I'm not trying to beat around the bush with anything here. I want to see what I got too. And we're all shareholders in this, and I'm one of the largest shareholders, and I would love to have some phenomenal drill holes. So that's how we're doing it. We're going to drill probably 8 or 9 holes, 200 meters a hole, and then go from there.
So the team that you've got around you, the guys that have been part of the genesis of this, you've kind of got a mix of young rock stars in the business and old souls that have been around for a while and know the tricks. Tell me a bit about that team and how you put it together.
So I founded the company with Brad Telfer. His dad is Ian Telfer, the chairman of Goldcorp. And so lots of wisdom coming from him, giving us some advice on stuff. Jim Gregg, he runs a company called Benchmark Metals. He's about 50. So I'm gonna say he would tell you that 50 is the new 40.
I'd agree with that.
But you know what? He's been phenomenal in this. He's the one who actually actually helped me get these properties to start from. He's been a lot of help for me. Toby Pierce, he's a banker from GMP, former banker at GMP. And just having, you know, some guys that can give, you know, someone my age some advice. You know, let me run the company how I think is a good way to run it. But I'm never going to listen to you know, bad advice. And I'm always going to listen to guys like Jim and Toby who can give me some good pointers. And I don't know why anyone that wouldn't listen to good advice. Sorry, that's what I meant.
And then you've got the guys like Jordan Trimble who, you know, again, child of a legend in the business, but also run his own course and is making a lot of people wealthy along those lines.
Well, Jordan sold his first company, New Gold, in 2010, which would have made him 21 years old, something like that. So phenomenal on his end. Jordan's been a big help in this too. And I'm very happy that he's on the board. I really respect the guy, and he's had a tremendous career. He's a CFA, you know, he's a very, very intelligent guy. And when you hear him in a meeting room getting, you know, doing negotiating, he's a tough negotiator. And everyone I've talked to, the older generation, has a lot of respect for Jordan.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I think I've got a good team together. And honestly, without him, I would have had a lot more trouble than I have had.
So some of the biggest success stories in terms of junior mining over the last few years have had connections on the younger side, have had teams that are on the younger side. I'm thinking Integra Gold. I'm thinking Lithium X, you know, Sky Harbor, Jordan's company. There's a lot of movement among the guys who come in and say, okay, well, it's nice that you guys have been doing this way for the last 7 or 8 years, but why don't we treat this more like a tech company than a mining company? Do you think that the old guard is starting to take notice of that, or are they still kind of see someone your age and think, oh, come on, man?
You know, some of the older guys are, you know, the very seasoned guys that have been tremendously successful. You know, they get maybe stuck in their own ways. I think the younger guys come in here with exactly like that. But how do we run this from a different perspective? You know, Lithium X was a phenomenal story. Integra was a phenomenal story. And I think that, you know, having a new vision on kind of how to run things, you know, I hate to say it, but every time you're at these mining conferences, it looks like half the guys in the room won't be around the next 5 years.
It's true.
And how do you get these guys that are at the pod conferences to come over and walk over after the pod conference and come to the mining conference? And that's what we're trying to do is, you know, how can I show people what I'm doing, whether it's by video or social media, say, hey, check this out. Look at how cool this is. And you never know. Maybe in 5 years, we're producing some gold. And honestly, a 5-year lookout on an investment. I think most people look at 5 years, 10 years investing. That's a smart way to invest.
So a lot of the cannabis investors are very used to the short news cycle, the ups and downs, the trying to get ahead of the market. I usually tell those people that mining is a series of. It's not one long horse race. It's a series of horse races. You're trying to get from your maiden handicap to the Kentucky Derby, and that there's investment potential in each of those stages. If you were to describe to someone who didn't know anything about mining, like what is the stage that you're at right now? What does it realistically require you to do? How much does it cost? And what is the sign that you're doing well?
So we have the two assets on the Bolo asset. How I could see that working out is we're going to have a drill program for June. We'll probably have those results late August, September. You know, good results are going to cause the share price to increase, right? We're going to keep the drills going as long as we can. The nice thing is we can accelerate drilling. If we keep hitting, we're going to keep drilling. And if we keep hitting and having success, then, you know, a bigger firm or someone will come along and finance for us to continue the drilling.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, we're going to put out a 43-101. And then from there, you do a pre-feasibility study and a feasibility study and a bankable feasibility study, a lot of studies. But I would say, you know, 5 to 7 years is probably a time frame from when we start drilling to when you'd be in production. And, you know, obviously it depends on the size of the resource, it's how much it's going to cost to build the mine. On the second asset, the sleeper asset, which the district has produced 370,000 ounces of gold, 17 million ounces of silver between 1890 and 1945. That's a really cool asset because there could be tailings and dumps on the property. Because the grades were so high when they did produce this, you know, 150 years ago, that the recovery rates back then weren't as good as they were now. Maybe they're 50%. Mm-hmm. So we could almost reprocess those tailings or dumps potentially, and have, you know, a small scale production facility set up in 2 years. But
is it likely that of those two assets that's going to be the work that you do over the next few years, or are you looking for other pieces to add to the roster?
You know what, we're always looking for other assets. You know, if someone comes by with a good asset, we would never not take a look. You know, I think there's always opportunity, and we have looked at other things too. I mean, Olo is such a great asset. We're so excited to get drilling, to start drilling the property. But we're always looking for other stuff. If there's a strategic asset, something in the area, something that we can get a good deal on, we're always happy to look at that. And I don't think adding good quality assets, if you can get them for a good price, is a bad thing.
And there's a few of those around these days.
Yes, sir.
Was the notion back in the beginning of this that you were going to find a gold property to work on, or was the property the thing that attracted you to this particular thing?
You know, when we started Varian, I definitely wanted to be in the gold sector. I felt the time was right. So Brad and I started looking at a number of assets, and this asset came up through Jim Gregg. Both assets did. Jordan Trimble actually was a big fan of the Bolo asset. He knew the asset from years ago. He tried to acquire the asset years ago, back in 2012. Markets were a little
rough.
Better for the gold space, so yeah. It was a property that was in high demand, and you know, now we were able to get a deal done on the property, and I think it's you know, the property is kind of, you know, I wanted to do something in gold, and then I wanted to find a wicked property for it. And with the help of Jordan and Jim, we got this Bolo asset. So that's kind of how that worked out.
Got it. So, you know, when you look out there at the resources sectors right now, you know, there's been a lot of jockeying from sector to sector with a lot of companies over the last few years. You know, lithium was hot, cobalt was hot, graphite before that, rare earths before that. There's been a lot of sort of jumping around on energy metals, not a lot on gold and silver. But how does gold play into the need for to further energy metals? I know it's an element that's used in a lot of different ways, but you know, is there a non, hey, this is a nice shiny ring aspect to gold mining over the next 10 to 20 years?
Well, you know what, gold is store value. It's a safe haven. I think, you know, in a tough market, the two things people do is invest in real estate and they invest in gold. And, you know, if you read a lot of the articles now I've read, you know, China and Russia, everyone is loading up on their gold reserves because people are getting scared of the market and the U.S. dollar. And unfortunately, if you can't buy the U.S. dollar, what else are you going to buy?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to buy any other currency, so you're going to invest in gold. You know, countries are buying gold at the highest rate, I think I read, since before the Second World War. And so you can see this influx. And then, you know, it's just...
But yet the core price of gold, although it's up, it's not extremely up. Like, what is it going to take for gold prices to go on a march like they did, you know, a bunch of years ago?
Well, I think we've got to have a base of about 1,300, 1,400. What people don't realize is, yeah, at this price, gold companies are actually doing quite well. Their balance sheets are doing quite well. And then as gold goes towards 1,400, you know, they have a lot more cash in their balance sheet. So once you start breaking that number, they got to start spending some of that cash, finding more gold, because it's great that you're, you know, adding lots of money to your balance sheet. But unfortunately, you're not, you know, increasing your reserves. So that's when these big majors are going to go out and start spending money on juniors again. And, you know, for me, it's been quite a lot of years, and everyone just kind of stick a look at the price. But I think 1,300 is that number that we have to see stay solid. Once we start breaking 1,350, which we did, we almost hit 1,350. I think it was February 20th, and I was actually heading down to Bolo, and I was excited. And you know what? The next time I think we hit that, it's going to break through, and we're off for a run. So you know, I think 1,400 is when things are going to get really real. And I think having Varian ready to go for when that happens was strategic, and is, you know, how we're going to look at things going forward.
So it might be some potential there for people who've made some money in cannabis and feel that that's a little bubblicious right now, to take some of their proceeds, put them all alongside a nice early stage, low risk potential explorer like yourself.
Yeah. And you know what? I think if any of these guys want to have a discussion with me and talk about, you know, how I feel about space, or, you know, tell them to give me a call, and I'm happy to chat with these millennials about it. You know, I think I love talking about Baryon, and, you know, I love listening to people tell me about what they're interested in. So, you know, I think the best thing someone wants to do, if they want to hear about the story and how, where I think things are going, just give me a call.
Beautiful. Man, if anyone wants more information, I'm sure you have a website.
Yeah, baryonmining.com.
Easy peasy. And so you're going out public when?
April 29th.
And the ticker symbol?
BARI.B.
So if people are interested in getting in on that, they should have their powder dry on that day.
Sure.
Love it. Thanks, man. Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, I've spent so many hours of my life on stages at investor conferences talking about how archaic mining is and how people need to stop trying to appeal to guys that have oxygen tanks. You know, seeing you come out with Mining for Millennials on your investor deck just made my heart very happy.
Well, that's fantastic, and I appreciate your time, Chris.
Thanks, man.
You've been listening to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. For disclosure statements and more info, please visit www.equity.guru.